backlog. I think there's some people streaming in. We don't wait anymore. Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for being on time. I think we are waiting for some other people to come in, but Happy New Year to you. I always tell people, sometimes when you say Happy New Year, you don't actually mean it. I want us to do ourselves a favor, go to someone. Please don't go to Adrian because you've been talking the whole day. Go to someone else and really eyeball to eyeball and really wish the person a Happy New Year. Can we do that? Come, let's just, yeah. 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 Oh. Yeah. 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 Don't know why Happy New Year, then I hear things like, must be China, man. I don't know why. Here, Happy New Year, then Kong Hei Fa Choy all come out. That one we do just before Chinese New Year, but it's okay. Thank God. Come, my sisters, come in. Join us, come. Yep, come, join. Come for it. Good to see us all. Come, June, come forward, please. Thank you, thank you. Yeah. Sit in front, Yeah. 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 Adriel, this is my sister, younger sister. I'm the older son. Yeah. 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 Okay, guys, thanks for being on time. Don't be distracted with people coming in. I always tell people, try to push up, then we don't have to project so far. Welcome, and it's really good to see you for 2024. A few things we want to just get started in 2024. There are people like Adriel visiting us. So why would people want to join our church? Our church has to be very marketplace-centric. I already said it. Last week, if you heard the video message, there's the difference between Jesus and the Pharisees. The difference is this. Jesus, his ethics was he's always going to be involved in the marketplace. Whereas the Pharisees, and later I'll talk about it, the word of God says, be on the guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. So today we want to talk about what's so wrong with the Pharisees. And if we don't watch it, we ourselves can have that Pharisaic attitude. So what's wrong with the Pharisees? They are probably self-righteous. And I think the word of God in Luke says, the yeast of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. They are hypocrites. They are self-righteous. They have unbelief. They are sinful and so forth. And if we don't watch it, we ourselves can be Pharisee. We can be very into tradition. We can be very into rituals, but we miss. And for the sake of preserving tradition, tell you what we do, we forsake the command of God. And that is what I want us to just be mindful about. So a lot of things, like for example, today we'll do Lord's Supper, and today I want to do something different. Typically, Lord's Supper, we have the elements put in your chair, everything so easy, right? Today, we want to do something different. Unless the Bible tells me I can't do it, otherwise I'll do something that I think is good. We will want people like Silas, myself, it forward, and people like Nyap, you come forward and take your elements. And today, when we sing the song, come to the table of mercy, you literally come to the table of mercy. Does it not make a difference? You follow Jesus or Jesus follow you? But some of us put God there. When you feel like God, having God, you press the button. You don't really follow Jesus. Because you follow Jesus, my friends, you pay a price. If Jesus tells you to do something, some of us are not prepared to do it. Whereas if you want Jesus in your pocket, what do? You want Jesus to follow you or God to follow you. So this year, we really want to break all these. Hey, please, guys, nothing wrong with tradition. But if by following tradition, you forsake the command of God, my friends, I urge you to think again. Are you with me? So in 2024, we want to rig things up a bit. I did say that every once a month, we want to go out there. And initially, we thought about Royston. We're talking about how every like last Thursday of the month, we want to like get people to come here, and then we get marketplace people, our own people, or people outside to talk about what we do in the marketplace. But as I think about it, I think it's good for us to be going out there in the marketplace because that is where people will be. Whereas if you always tell people to come to church, if they people come to church, Adriel is here, people come to church. But there's some people who won't come to church. You have to bring church to them. And how do we do that? We do things out of the marketplace. Can I see your first slide? I want us to block this date. This is a nice place. Yep, sorry, you can't pay for this. The church will pay. 9 Feb is Chinese New Year's Eve. So this is the eve of the eve of the eve. So 9 Feb is Chinese New Year on a Friday. 7 Feb, I know the owner, his name is Wee Tuck. He'll be one of the speakers and people like Nyap too. I want us to engage on 7 Feb. Please, all cell groups for the week close. 7 Feb, 7:30 on a Wednesday. I can't really see the thing. Can it be larger? Oh, never mind. I'll show you on the WhatsApp. It is at East Coast Park. There's this place called, what's that place called? Parkland. Some place along ECP, not the Jumbo site, but further down closer to the Amber Road and what have you. So we want to book that place, show the next slide. It's a very nice place. You face out the sea view. So these are some of the tables. One of the few, there's a private room. So we will be able to sit up to 60 pax. We'll have dinner. Don't worry, just come. Bring your friends. I want us to bring people. Adriel, please come. People who are new, free of charge, just come. If you feel like you want to donate or whatever, but the only person that we don't want to is Nyap, we won't ask you to donate because it's too cheap for you. It's too cheap. So next time we hit 10,000 mark, then I call you. I'm kidding, but no need. Just come. I want us to bring our friends. This is a good time. Nobody said the church has to be here, you know. I only know that church is everywhere. Church is everywhere we can find God, right? So as we go out there and espouse and talk about God, what better place to go out there and do East Coast Park? So I've got some friends, the owner will come, he's a believer. I will ask him a few questions. He'll tell you how he got this place, and I'll leave that story to another day. Nyap, well, I'll ask her a few questions. She'll tell us about a few things, and then I got someone else to talk about her daughter who went for internship with a certain law firm. Won't tell you which firm and how she was blessed. So I want us to bring people so that when we talk about things in the marketplace, actually, we are actually talking about God and how God works. But I don't need to preach to a person, you see. I just tell them stories, and then we try to hook people. So that's the strategy. Can I just really invite you to bring friends? I have 60 packs. I will leave Royston to sort of organize together with Gunn. Let's hit 60 packs. Once we hit 60 packs, we stop. So if everybody comes, it's already 30. Everybody brings someone 30 times 2, we are done. So can I just encourage you? Don't bring the whole family of 5. Don't bring kids. I mean, this one, I think Brewworks is a beer and everything. The guy who runs Brewworks, I think he's famous for using new water to do beer. Recycling a lot of things. So I want to just ask you, is God into recycling? Do you think it's biblical to recycle? Is it okay to wear a piece of, or wear the clothes and then after one day just throw away and whatever? Or do we recycle? Do we pass it to our helpers if we can or whatever? What does God say about recycling? So I want to talk about these things, which I think is very marketplace-centric. And people hear it, hopefully they capture and they hear about God, although we are not really referring to the Bible. God tells us to cultivate the land, right? Genesis 2:15. When you cultivate the land, does it mean that you just keep buying clothes? Should we buy clothes from people who undermine and pay below salaries to their workers? Do we buy clothes from manufacturers who actually do things in a way that's not sustainable? Do we buy things like that and so forth? So I want to just hear about these things and talk about God. So I want to encourage you. So can you please mark it down, 7 Feb? It's a Wednesday, 7:30. All cell groups, please close. Everybody, please make sure you come. And Gunn and Royston, I leave it to you. Can we just quickly invite people? Yip, bring your friend, Dennis. Wai Kiong, I'm encouraging you now. Come, Adriel, come. Adriel, bring someone else. What the Chinese say? The Chinese pastor last time? Yi ren dai yi ren. Then what? Jiao tang zuo man ren. Simple. So let's really do that. And 60 packs is not too difficult to do. All right. So 7 Feb, can I just ask you to mark down, and later I'll send the whatever. And it's going to be good food. Brewworks is good for their beer and so forth. Today, I want to talk about this topic about breadcrumbing. I want to just tell you what breadcrumbing means. And people tell me when you speak, always good to start with a hook, right? So let me try to hook you. You know what's breadcrumbing? Anybody? What's breadcrumbs? Breadcrumbs is crumbs, right? But do you know that breadcrumbs is not a very good word? If I tell you, for example, stop breadcrumbing, okay, I give you a definition of breadcrumbing. Breadcrumbing is to give someone enough attention for them to be hooked without committing. So you can be breadcrumbing Wing. If, for example, Wing has got 3 job offers, actually he's only interested in one, the other two, he just breadcrumbs, say, yeah, I'm thinking about it, but actually he's got no desire to join the other two. But he's using those two in order to get the first one to up their offer. What's breadcrumbing? Breadcrumbing is trying to give someone hope, enticed, but actually you have no desire to commit. Maybe when you're young, I mean, look at Silas, so handsome, whatever. Maybe last time got 5 girls after him. He actually only interested in Winnie, he breadcrumbed the other 4. Actually, it's no intention. So I want to tell us breadcrumbing is, in the secular term, not a good term. Breadcrumbing can be divine. I didn't know. So this year, we're talking about things like, but now I see. Breadcrumbing is bad news, my friend. But yet in the Bible, it talks about breadcrumbing. So today, in the secular term, breadcrumbing is not good news. If I say, Tiffany, stop breadcrumbing, stop giving someone enough attention for them to be hooked without committing. What does the Bible say? Let your yes be a yes, your no be a no, right? And so sort of a bit of like a lukewarm kind of thing, isn't it? So do we breadcrumb or do we just stand our word? What does the word of God say about something? We take a position or we do not take a position. So I want to encourage us. But now I see. This is the term, the series that we have, be nice, but now I see. Now you know, breadcrumbing is not a good thing. So I want to hook you by starting with that, and I want to ask you to go immediately to Matthew 15. If your Bible's open, I want you to go to Matthew 15, and I go to my first slide. Matthew 15, the first slide. Before that, the ethics of Jesus. I said it again. Jesus is interested in being involved. Guys, if you are a believer, Joey, Jolene, whatever, if you're a believer and the only thing you want to do is to sit at home and read the Bible and have no fellowship, my friend, I don't know whether you're a believer or not. I know Jolene spent a lot of time with Joey in the last 2 weeks. Fantastic. I also spent a lot of time with a lot of people sometimes for a few things, but as we talk about things, as we process talk matters, it's good. There's fellowship. There's a need to be involved. Whereas the Pharisees, what do? Pharisees are experts in avoidance. It's almost like tax avoidance. Avoid. Avoid being dirty, avoid the hands being dirty, avoid being in the marketplace. And last week when I talked about it, I went to Mark 7 verse 4. I'll just say this. When they had crossed over, they landed on the Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard where Jesus was. And wherever Jesus went, into villages, towns or countryside, listen to this. They placed the sick in the marketplace. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Picture that scenario. If everything is done like that, is it chaotic? Everybody bring the sick. Guys, is it orderly or is it chaotic? Is it dirty? Bring a leper, the fellow bleeding, bring everything. Is it chaotic? But in that chaos, there was order. There's something about coming to God and Jesus being involved. What do the Pharisees do? On the Pharisees, on the other hand, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is unwashed. Listen to this. The Pharisees do not eat until their hands are given a ceremonial washing, holding on to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. Jesus getting the hands dirty in the marketplace, the Pharisees, marketplace, don't touch anybody. My question to you is this, who are you? Are you a person that is able to get hands dirty, yet at the same time also, in that sense, be orderly, be able to follow instructions and get things done? All of you would have known about the Japan Airline, right? Do you all read it? When I first heard about 379, I thought they said all were evacuated. Then I was thinking to myself, evacuated just means that none of them died, but I wonder how many of them got third-degree burns. They managed to get them out in 18 minutes, apparently. Out of 10 slides, they only used 3 slides. 2 slides forward, the pilot said okay, and they went out. Then I noticed something. A lot of them were Japanese. Do you all know Japanese? Japanese, all very used to earthquakes, very used to whatever. They are very stoic. Do you know Japanese are very stoic people? Huh? Steady one. Silas is going to Japan for 2 weeks. His own time, he's going to hike in Japan. Hopefully he comes back all refreshed. But the Japanese will follow orders, right? Can you imagine if it's a group of, I won't say which country, can you imagine if the whole church at night is, Silas is laughing, are you thinking the same country as me? Whole group of those people, everybody don't follow instructions. And then what happens? You tell them, don't take anything. They say, no, wait, my Louis Vuitton bag, haven't take. And then everybody go to the cabin, take this, get that. Maybe my sister down there will throw, take my bag, this one very expensive, take. People would have died, you know. Because when they came down 10 minutes later, what happened? Boom, explosion. Are you with me? What kind of culture do we have? How do we get things done? Do we follow instructions in the midst of chaos, still orderly, yet same time, but very involved and get things done? They were the ones who saved. In 18 minutes, they got everybody out. None of them died. The only people who died were the 5 in the cargo plane, because now you know, right? Maybe air traffic control, there were some instructions or miscommunication. I stopped there. Something about just coming before God in order and know that yet at the same time, God is going to take care of us. Next slide, please. Next slide, please, Malcolm. Matthew 15. I want to talk about the Pharisees. Look at the Pharisees. I talk about them not wanting to dirty their hands in the marketplace. Look at me with Matthew 15, verse 3. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of a tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death." Verse 5, but you say if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honour their father or mother. Thus, Jesus says to the Pharisees, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Verse 7, you, what's the word? Hypocrites. They're hypocritical because they tell people to follow the tradition. Hey guys, nothing wrong with tradition. If every year we say our tradition is year-end, we have an 11 o'clock service and then we usher New Year, is that necessarily a bad thing? It's not. But if the tradition causes you to not be able to conform to the commands of God, my friends, you better think again. Are you with me? So there's something about the Pharisees that we need to learn. Be not be like them. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Verse 8, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. These are the Pharisees. Lip service, that's what we say, right? Tiffany, Brian, what do we say? Don't just pay lip service and do nothing. A lot of us, we have to watch it. The lip only says something, but our hearts is somewhere else, and our actions actually do not conform to what we really want to see. Are you with me? They pay lip service and they get it wrong. Actually, verse chapter 16, verse 5, if you look at chapter 16, verse 5, you run to it, you will see it down there. I'll just go to it quickly. Be on guard, Jesus said to them, be careful, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What's wrong with these people? Be on guard against them. What is wrong with the Pharisees? Let me tell you about yeast. Anyone here bakes? Anybody bakes? Gosh, nobody bakes, Royston, you bake, right? Don't bluff. You know why I know? Because your daughter sabo you. Point, 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 point. What is yeast, guys? My sister, no point, She only knows about bags. Forget it. Yeast. What is yeast? Yeast is that very small ingredient, but that ingredient has potential to do what? If you get it right, it expands and gives volume to the bread. Am I right? Even I know. Y'all don't know. Angela, you don't know what yeast? Yeast is what? Yeast is yeast, Angela, miss me, right? 2 weeks, never hear me like that. But yeast is something that will give you, on the positive side, yeast, if it's done properly, yeast will give what? That expanding effect and that powerful ingredient to make the bread wholesome and flavorful, correct? But God says, be on the guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. So yeast in itself is not a good or bad thing. It really depends on what you, that ingredient, you watch it fluff. If you are actually lousy fella who talks a lot of nonsense, your yeast may then be pervasive and it affects a lot of people. The yeast of the Pharisees was bad. It affected so many of people that they're all afraid of them. They don't even dare to say the things that they should be saying. Remember last week I talked about the fact that the man who was blind and then God healed him and then he said, I could see. And then the parents were told about the Pharisees, so what happened to your child? The parents were scared of the Pharisees because the Pharisees made it clear, anybody who accepts Jesus as the Messiah will be kicked out of the synagogue. So that's the yeast of the Pharisees. They are pervasive, they are influential, but in a bad way. So we have to be careful. What are you in the marketplace? Are you an army commander? Are you a banker or people that people can come to you and you will be a blessing? Or what kind of person are you? Show me that slide of my picture today, the handsome-looking guy. The third slide. This morning, I'm very busy. I run around. Can I have the slide, please? Sorry, you're going to work hard. Larger again. This girl, Muslim girl, today got married. I went for Angela, the guy, good looking? Just say yes. Yes, good. I went down there. It's a Muslim wedding. I'm not being racist. I count the number of Chinese. I was probably one or two. The rest all can tell Muslim. I go down there, I so blur. So quickly go down there, then talk. But I'm the ex-boss. She used to work for me. Apparently, the first time when she worked for me, she cried for a while. But it's okay, it's normal. Once you cry one time, you're okay. Nice girl. After that, she improved, whatever. She invited me to go. I never asked who else she invited in my office because sometimes, because you left, you don't know who to invite, right? So I don't know who's going. I went myself. I went there. There was no one else. I was the only one. I go down there. I just go down there. I make sure that she saw me. At least I take my attendance. I saw me. Then I go in front of her. I make sure I take a picture of her. I say, I'm very happy for you. Are we involved? or when people leave your place, and then maybe Silas used to be a head, and then ask him to come, but actually that lady used to be a tea lady, the tea lady's daughter come and say, Silas, can you come? I don't want to go. Or do you go? Are you a blessing to the people so that these people know that there's something about this guy? And then I went out there, then some Malay compare was say, oh, the Lao Ban is here. I so blur. How about we be involved in the lives of people and make a difference? Do you have ex-colleagues who call you for something? Got a birthday party? I'm not saying that everyone must go, but where can you go? Can you be a blessing? By going there, I think I have given that occasion a bit of a whatever. So I want to encourage us. What do we do? Are we Pharisaic about attitudes, or are we involved and prepared to, this is not getting hands dirty, but being on the ground and being a blessing to people so that people recognize that there's something about you. Who is this God that you are serving? The yeast of the Pharisees. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. Matthew 6:18 says here, and if you go to Matthew 15:4, jump back, 15:13, Jesus says, then the disciples came to him and asked, because Jesus is very strong in his words to the Pharisees, right? Matthew 15:12, Jesus says, then the disciples came to Jesus and says, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? Because he scolded them, right? So even the disciples thought, wow, Jesus, you're not scared. You're going to tell these people like that. I only ask of one thing. Are we all consistent? So that when people see you, talk to anybody, you're all the same. That language, that posture, whatever. So here Jesus is like that. He talks to everybody all same, you know. He goes to these people, he calls it for what it is, and then he was told, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. So my friend, in 2024, Dawei, are you a plant that God has sunken in roots? Or are you someone that God needs to take out, uproot, and then plant you again? What are you? And in 2024, I hope that we're all open to God planting. Some of us, the things that we've done in 2023 is not very edifying. May God continue to work for you. But the Word of God says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the heavens. Leave them, the Pharisees. What are they? They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. These are the Pharisees. Are you spiritually blind? Remember last week I talked about it? The man who was blind became physically able to see. But after that, even his ability to see in the spiritual realm was opened because he recognized Jesus. But what happened to the Pharisees? The Pharisees are actually physically able to see, but they were spiritually blind. That is the oxymoronic thing about it. The Pharisees, be on your guard. These people are blind. Leave them alone. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. And off you go. So guys, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. And just watch that, so to speak. Next slide, please. Matthew 15:22 and 10:47. Matthew 15:22, Jesus did not answer when this lady from Canaanite, and today I'm talking about the breadcrumbing. In Matthew 15, a breadcrumbing happened like this. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity, verse 22, came to Jesus, crying out to Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. If you go to Mark 10:47, it's another guy coming to God. In Mark 10:47, if you can toggle and go to Mark 10:47, they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples were near to a large crowd living in the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, came on the side begging, saw it was Jesus. He began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So in Mark 10 and in Mark 15, you see that Jesus had two persons coming to him. Both shouted the same thing. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Exactly the same question, exactly the same exclamation, same questioning, same phraseology. But my friends, I tell you, the answer to Matthew 15 and the answer to Mark 10 from Jesus couldn't be any more different. In Mark 10, chapter 10, 47, these are the ones that you want to hear the answer. What did Jesus say to Bartimaeus, the blind man? Jesus stopped and said, call him. Actually, the disciples rebuked him and told him to shut up, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. And the next thing we know, he was restored.
in his sight. Because Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." That is Mark 10. But guys, that is the good news, right? Can you imagine, Jeep, you go to God and you ask God for something. God says, "What do you want?" And God gives you exactly what you want. But sometimes, what do you have? And today's text, I want you to go to Matthew 15. This is the Canaanite woman who comes to God. He says, "Lord, have mercy on me." Matthew 15, verse 21. "Lord, Son of David," Matthew, "mercy on me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." What did Jesus do? He did not answer. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Can you please send this woman away? For she keeps crying out after us." What did Jesus do? What does Jesus say in answer in verse 24? He says to the woman, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Can you imagine if you ask God, "God, can you please help me? I am here. My daughter's demon possessed. Can you help my daughter?" And Jesus turns to you and say, "I'm actually sent to do something else. I'm not sent to heal your daughter." What does she do in response? She says, "The woman came and knelt before him." So number one, rejected one time, right? And then you can ask, kind of sunk by Jesus, and what Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." In other words, I'm not sent to help you, no, Tiffany. I was sent actually to help the Jews, not you. You're a Gentile. You understand? The lost sheep of Israel are the Jews. Canaanite, Gentiles. Are you with me? So Jesus said, "Actually, my friend, Tiffany, you Gentile, I'm actually here to help Silas the Jew." What does Tiffany do? Tiffany goes and then one time got rejected, she persists, and then she says, she kneels before Jesus and says, "Lord, help me." And then second time, Jesus says, verse 26, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." My goodness, if you hear the first one, then you hear the second one, you would have might sing down and walk off, right? What does the woman do? "Yes," listen to this. "Yes, it is," she said, "even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." "Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." That is the answer she gave after two rejections. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that very moment. When we come to God, sometimes, not all the time, we need to persist, isn't it? Some people ask one time, God don't answer, ciao. Sometimes your Sabrina, when you pray for something, it may take 10 years, no? Because God wants to allow 10 years for you to learn something. And some of us, what happened in our lives, I hear it all over again. A lot of us, do you not realize sometimes a lot of things you do, then you do something not right, and then it's like the problem comes back and repeats again. It's like you're going in circles. Have you had that before? I can now a few times. Adriel, have not? You do something and then, very sick. How come 2 years later, also same problem? And then it's like going cycles. Maybe God is trying to teach you something, right? It's like you keep having to learn the lesson. Isn't that our advantage? Isn't that our experience? I don't know about you, unless you are so sensitive to God and so obedient. But people like me, sometimes a bit stubborn. Something happens, you keep having to go in circles and God needs to sort of do something, your character. But sometimes, not even that, God asks you you ask God, God doesn't answer, and God gives you some time. But here, you ask one time, God says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep." Next, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." And then she still persisted and said, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's hand." We are all marketplace people here. I want to ask you, we are in the position in the marketplace of feeding people, just like Jesus, right? You are a feeder in the marketplace. Can I ask you? Next slide. Do you feed people? Yep, do you feed your team? When it comes to bonuses, are you generous? Or do we keep everything ourselves? When do you go out to help people? Or actually, this is my time, I'm not prepared to help. A lot of us, when we out there in feeding in the marketplace, Jesus feed this woman, later we talk about it, but I'm not talking about us in the marketplace. When we feed people in the marketplace, looking at what we've read, are we people who feed people by feeding crumbs? Or are we going out there to do the work of the kingdom? What are you in the marketplace? Do we feed people just crumbs? Or do we go out there and really feed people and give off ourselves? I like what Phyllis has in the profile, right? I don't want to do something to effect
do nothing that costs you nothing. Everything that we do, it should cost us something. Learn something, guys. Point number one, know your mission. When God calls you to do something, in this case, God, does he know his mission? I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Is that true when Jesus came? Was he sent to save the Jews, Wing? Yes. But later, by extent, you'll see that God was also going to save the Gentiles. So this statement is not wrong. He knows his mission, but when the Canaanite woman keeps pestering persistently, what does God do, Jesus? He caters for her. There must be an allowance. In the marketplace, do we do that? Sometimes we have a mission, right? If, for example, I tell Wai Kiong, I am your whatever, do this and do this only. But along the way, sometimes you need to cater for something else that comes along the way. Do we allow for allowance? Are we generous enough? Are we flexible enough? When God calls us, do we allow for allowance? So Jesus here, speaking of allowance, right? First for the Jews and then also for the Gentiles. Can I just submit to you? I think God was testing this woman. Clarissa, what do you think? God was testing and watching her response. And she passed the test. When God almost sarcastically with Jesus, if you don't watch it, you think God's being sarcastic. God says, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. She say, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. How are you in the marketplace? Do you know your mission? But sometimes if you need to, you cater for allowance. Are you ready to tweak whatever you need to do, though not at the expense of other people? When we say tweak and give allowance, it doesn't derogate from your main mission. If you do something, God tells you to do a main mission, but sometime along the way, there'll be other things you need to do. But I want to encourage us, be flexible and don't lose sight of what God wants you to do. Ready to tweak, though not expense, and then you give your all and don't give only your leftovers. I want to encourage us. I want to also encourage us that after that, it's interesting that after God healed that Canaanite woman, if you go down to Matthew 15, interestingly, God then begins to feed the 4,000. And later, I want to show you the connection between God not feeding us crumbs in this day and age, God giving us more than what we need, and yet at the same time, also know that God, in this case, fed the 4,000 or 5,000, and I want to show you later the connection between Jesus being the bread of life and also us feeding on his leftovers and what we are pertaining to that. If you go to Jesus feeding the 4,000 in Matthew 15, after Jesus had sort of healed the woman's daughter, after the woman's daughter whose demon herself was healed, you will see the narration of the story of Jesus feeding the 4,000. Will you go with me to Matthew 15? If you go down to Matthew 15, you go down to see Jesus feeding the 4,000. Jesus called his disciples to him, verse 32. And then the people were all there. Great crowds came to him. He healed all of them. The people were amazed. And of course, then Jesus said to him, I have compassion for these people. They have already been in me 3 days and nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry. They may collapse on the way. There's compassion in the marketplace. So when Jesus not only feed them and heal them and make sure that all of them are healed, Jesus, guys, I tell people, don't miss the woods for the trees. Sometimes people come to you for something, but the basic thing is just they also need to eat. Correct? Some people think, oh, let's help Tiffany. You want to find a job, whatever, whatever. Oh, this job may take 6 months to find, but in the six months, she may need a part-time job, right? How about helping her to find a part-time job in the meantime? Are you with me? So sometimes we forget, we miss the woods for the trees. Jesus has compassion. Number one, I tell people, please have compassion. Have compassion for these people. And then he goes on to say, Jesus says to the disciples, these people, they've been me for 3 days, I've done my healing so far, but I don't want them to go hungry or not, they will collapse on the way. Very practical, right? In the marketplace, if you've got no money, no salary, no whatever, you go hungry. How about we have compassion and act on it? Jesus had compassion and act on it. I forwarded a message that day in the Agro chat. I like this. We come to the end of 2023, we come for the 2024, we thank God for what happened in 2023, and in 2024, we trust God, TNT. Thank God for what's happened, trust Him. In this case, what does Jesus do? He took the 7 loaves in verse 36, He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and He was going to multiply the food. He gave thanks. He broke them, and He gave them to the disciples. He took the 7 loaves and 2 fish. He gave thanks to the Father. Be thankful. He gave thanks. He broke them and He gave them to the disciples and they in turn to the people. They all ate and they were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples pick up 7 basketfuls of leftovers. This is a miracle, isn't it? I heard of people going for mission trips. They were doing the food to give, right? When they give, 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 it's like, actually no more. The food doesn't end, you know, Shireen. God can multiply food. It's nothing to him. If he wants to multiply food, he'll multiply. Some of you, you think you're not very smart, right? God can multiply the brain cells and make you smarter. I'm telling you now, I'm smarter now than 35 years ago. I can bet you. My memory now is like an elephant. Every time I don't remember things, suddenly a thought comes to me, and then I'll go to my colleague, like just now the photo one, me. Aren't you supposed to remind me of this thing? They say, yeah, I forgot. They say, it's very funny. Right? I remind you to remind me to remind me. But God can help us and multiply a lot of things. The question is whether you allow God to work with you. Be thankful. God himself, the Jesus, the Son of God, gave thanks, had compassion, gave thanks, broke, and he did the miracle. But it was clear that he was going to do the miracles using the disciples so the disciples could see for themselves that the miracle was at hand. Thank God. Trust God. Thank God for what's happened. Thank God for the food and trust God that God can multiply and do something about it. How do you give? In the family. How do you give in the church? How do you give at work? Do you tap break? Sometimes you feel, ayo, I do so much already. This part is actually, no need to help my colleague. She on leave. Let her do it herself. You knowing that actually, if this thing is not done, she will get into trouble with manager. Or are you prepared to help? How do you give in the family? How do you give in church? Do you tithe? Or do you give God your breadcrumbs? I say it again. Do you give God your breadcrumbs? Some people, you know what they do? They take the salary, they give first to God. Other people take the salary, finish everything. If don't finish everything, got breadcrumbs, give the balance. How do you give? How do you give at play? When you play football, whatever, Adrian, I play football. I give everything. My captain for tomorrow's game is here. Kurt, am I a good footballer? See? Do I give my off in the field? I do. I play also, I give everything. Do you give everything so that people say, this guy at 56 years old, am I the best corner taker in the field, in the team? Do I score good goals? When it's a free kick, is there a chance that goalkeeper scared of me? I'm not howling, I'm just telling you the fact, you know. There's something about trusting God and God will multiply so that even at 56, 57, you can do the things that some of the people at 46 can't do. But how about we trust God and thank Him and trust God and continue to know that He'll multiply the resources that we have. What do you give? Are you someone that's compassionate? Or actually, when you see something, you pretend not to see it, or you just walk away? Are you someone that God can use? On the flip side, we feed people, but on the flip side, we also receive. If like a woman, when you receive, the feedee is such a word, a feedee in the marketplace. Feeder is people like us giving something, right? We're in a position to give, but sometimes we're in a position to receive. When you receive, are you like a Canaanite woman? Do you persist? Because if the Canaanite woman didn't persist, after Jesus gave the first answer, she would say, "My son, liao la, you so how lian, I walk off." Are you with me? Jesus was testing her. Jesus wanted to see whether she would persist. And persist she did. But if we don't persist, my friend, you miss the blessings God has for you. I wish some of us in 2024 will persist despite and in spite of the challenges. You have to persist. You have to persevere. This woman didn't let go. In fact, this woman, after being told the first time, "I was sent only to the Lordship," she came and knelt. That is humility, my friend. Can you imagine, Adriel, if I swan you, then what you do? After being swan, you should actually, my son, you go away, right? What you do? You come and kneel before me, "Daniel, please help." That's humility, man, friend. Do you come to God with that attitude or say, some of us, we pray one time to God, God don't answer, my son, liao. Or do we keep praying until God answers? Or even if God don't answer in your lifetime, you still say, "God, you are sovereign." Because God knows what He's doing. Do you persist? When you're fed crumbs, don't give up. Because when God says He feeds crumbs, In the aftermath, the Gentiles are all fully restored. God's histrionics show that he will come in full, but you need to not give up, and you will take whatever is given to you anyway. Do we have evil bosses? Do you have bosses that serve actually feed you crumbs? Don't show your hands after your boss see this YouTube. Do you have people who actually report to who actually don't give you what you need? Take it anyway and trust God that God will supply. Just keep going. Don't give up. In God's time, if you keep serving him, he will restore and he will be with us. I like this part. In chapter 16, Matthew 6, the Pharisees came to Jesus and then tested him, asking him to show them a sign from heaven. God says to you, a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. Today we don't have time. One day I'll talk about this. And then Jesus left them and went away. And then he went across to the lake. The disciples forgot to take bread. In chapter 16, the disciples forgot to take bread. And then God says, be careful. Jesus says, be careful. Be on your guard against the Pharisees, the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And then the disciples, wow, this one them solid, discuss among themselves and they say, is it because we didn't bring any roti? They completely missed the point. Jesus was telling them to be on the guard. It's not like Jesus saying, you better bring the roti, you better bring your gardenia. No, Jesus is telling them, be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees. Aware of the discussion, Jesus said, you of little faith, why are you talking about yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves and how many basketfuls I gathered? Or the 7 loaves and how many basketfuls I gathered? How is it you don't understand? That was not talking to you about roti, but be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then the disciples finally understood, Eureka, he was not telling them to guard against the yeast in the bread, but against the teachings of the Pharisees. What are the teachings of the Pharisees? It breeds self-righteousness. Sabrina, what does the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all the things we need, right? But we are to seek his kingdom and his what? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The problem with the Pharisees is seek, I don't know what they're thinking, they probably seek my kingdom and my own self-righteousness. Whatever that works for me, I take. While our job here on earth is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's just the difference, his and self. Who do you serve? What do you do? Be on guard against the yeast. The smallest ingredient, like Royston, the baker will tell you, powerful effect on the dough. The yeast is supposed to make something voluminous and flavorful, but if the yeast of the Pharisees, they can make something big, but it is bad influence. Be on guard against the false teachings, wrong interpretation, wrong emphasis that take us away from what Jesus came to do. What does Jesus want you to do in 2024? What is God telling you to do? Just having a WhatsApp message with Silas and say, in 2024, I want to be wise as a serpent and blah, blah, blah. He's telling me about whatever office thing. Sometimes the office is challenging. In 2024, maybe it's even more challenging in 2023. But do we continue to do what God wants us to do? Do we still serve him? Even if you're fed crumbs. People feed us crumbs from the top, but when we feed our people, we don't feed crumbs. We give them generously, we impart, we mentor, we be a blessing to people, or do we hold back? Do we continue to remain kind? Do we continue to do the things of God, even if people take advantage of us? Go with me to the book of John. If you go to the book of John, please, John 6, and with this I end. And I thought this is interesting. If you go to me, the book John 6, it talks about Jesus feeding the 5,000, and then you will see a connection, I hope. Go to John 6. Just now, we talk about Jesus feeding the 4,000, right? And on another occasion, Jesus fed the 5,000. Listen to this. Jesus feeding the 5,000, again, he says to the disciples, let's feed all these people that have come. Jesus says in verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10, John 6, verse 10, Jesus said, have the people sit down, plenty of grass, so sat down, 5,000 people were there. Jesus took the loaves. Again, listen, he gave thanks. It's always God giving thanks. Even Jesus gave thanks, my friend. Who are we not to be grateful? Jesus, the Son of God, giving thanks to God the Father for breaking the bread, knowing that he will multiply. What more people like us give thanks? Can I just tell us, before we eat, can we give thanks? Give thanks, and he distributed to those who were seated as much as wanted. He did the same to the fish. When he gathered all enough to eat, he said to his disciples, listen to this, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. Nothing. Everything to be used. Maybe that's why some of us need to recycle. Gather what is needed. And on the 7th of Feb, you hear my friend Brewworks, they take the beer, after a beer, you got a lot of all these waste products, right? What do you do with it? Do we recycle? Do we do so that nothing, let nothing be wasted? He gathered and all the baskets were filled. Let nothing be wasted. And now, interestingly, you scroll down, Jesus then walks on the water in Matthew, in John chapter 6, and then this part I want you to hear. In verse 26, John 6, 26, verily I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Then they ask, what must we do to do the work of God that God requires? John 6, 29, Jesus says, the work of God is to do this, to believe in the one he has sent, which is himself, right? Believe, what's your work? To believe in Jesus that God had sent. And then verse 32, he says, verily I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Question, who is the bread that came down from heaven? Answer, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Because I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All these the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. There's a connection between Jesus feeding the 4,000 to 5,000. We talk about the breadcrumbs, and now we talk about bread again, and then there's a leftover. I thought this was interesting, and I want you to listen to this. There's this pastor who gave what I thought was quite an interesting theory, and I want to just read this for you and see whether you can make some sense out of it. He says this, when Jesus says he will raise up what the Father had given up the next day, I immediately could see the connection to the disciples gathering the leftovers. Listen, Jesus is the bread of life, and those who believe upon him and follow him are the bread leftovers. Jesus is the bread of life, but those people like us, we as believers, are the bread of life as well because we are the body of Christ. Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. He came to our wilderness world to souls hungry for life. He took his one body, gave thanks to God, and broke his body to feed our hungry souls. His body was broken for the sins of the world. We, he says, are the broken leftovers that must feed the world and the love of God until he returns. Jesus cares about each leftover piece because each represents a piece of him and this saving care for each one who receives him. Jesus saves his leftovers so that we too can become broken agents of healing to a starving world. I thought that was interesting. This lady, Joycelyn Larson, says, accepting my brokenness turned myself and my sin into a gloriously tiny trickle, and it turned his cross and his grace into the magnificent ocean for which I'm now near drowning with grateful glee. Listen to this, my friends. Indeed, God was not who I thought he was. I thought God wanted inherent wholeness. Sometimes when we come before God, we think that God wants us to be whole, right? We think that God wants us to be whole. This lady says, I thought God wanted inherent wholeness. Instead, under the administration of King Jesus, to be broken, listen to this, to be broken is to be whole. To be broken is to be whole. And to be whole is to be broken. We must know that we are broken leftovers, and our purpose is to feed as many as we can before he commands his angels to gather all the leftovers. I like that. Jesus is the perfect roti, the perfect loaf. He's the loaf that came down from heaven. Why did God come down from heaven? To save us, right? He is the perfect loaf. Yet same time, from the fact that he feed people not only crumbs, but he tells us to continue, persevere. He feeds the 4,000 to 5,000. He gives thanks. He himself gives thanks. He broke the bread. He made sure that nothing was to be wasted. Every leftover to be collected. Because the pastor says here, we are the broken leftovers. We must know that we are broken leftovers. What's our purpose? We feed as many as we can before the day will come. Jesus will come to gather up the leftovers. When is he coming? I don't know. But I know by 2100, it'll be 35 degrees in Singapore. Very hot. And Karen and I were saying, it's okay, by the time we will have gone up to heaven already. Will he come soon? Will we be part of the leftovers that you'll gather and take us home so that none is wasted? Are we going to do what is required for us to do so that when we later take the Lord's Supper, we come and we really tell God, God, you are the bread of life. I eat of the bread of salvation. Later we sing, eat of the bread of salvation, drink of the blood of the Lamb. Today, we will dispense with some tradition. Traditionally, we have the Lord's Supper being done here. Very convenient, no need to come out. Just kneel down there, take a bread. Today, later, Royston will bring the table before us. We have the elders, we have Silas, we have Nyam. I'm going to ask people like Royston and Shireen, just come and take of the bread of salvation. Know something. When you came to God, God was not only going to feed you breadcrumbs. He came to die for us in whole. But we are the broken leftovers. To be whole in God is to be broken. But to be broken is to be whole. How many of you are not broken? Not broken means no problem, no? Perfect. You want 10,000, you get 10,000. You want 5 million, you get 5 million. Or some people have to go through some things, miscarriage. Want to get children, cannot get. Want to get this job, cannot get. You wish your children were well, but your children are not well. Ask me about it. Are we broken? How many of you grow the best when you're broken? When shit happens, pardon my language, we all grow. No? When everything you want, you get, you don't grow. When does a couple grow? When maybe they have to deal with the children and help the children with something. When do you grow? I talk to so many businessmen. They grow the best when the business went through a rough patch. They have no choice but to cling to God. And then they grow. Something happens. Now that's the marketplace for you. Get your hands dirty. Go through whatever you go through. In the marketplace could be your family. The marketplace of family, having to help your children, whatever you do. But as you go through that, you know that God is going to come through for you. I want us to prepare for the Lord's Supper. I am the bread of life. Next slide, please. 6:35. 6:51, I'm the living bread that comes down from heaven, came down. Whoever eats the bread will live forever. Jesus, the perfect loaf. We are the broken leftovers here to feed the world, the love of God, until he returns. Next slide, please. To be broken is to be whole. To be whole is to be broken. We are the crumbs from Christ. I like that. We are the crumbs. God is the perfect roti. Stop breadcrumbing. Stop giving someone enough attention to be hooked without committing. Stop breadcrumbing God. Give him everything.
eat of the bread of salvation from Jesus as you come to the Lord's Supper and drink. He came to die for us. In 2024, will we dispense with the yeast of the Pharisees and really do the work of the kingdom and be a tremendous blessing? I invite the musicians to come forward, Karen, Leon, and Shireen. Today, nothing wrong with putting the elements for you. We'll just play the Lord's Communion song. We won't play the wordy song, Karen. But as we come, I want us to come forward. For those who have not been baptized, it is okay. I still want you to come. You come, we will pray a blessing for you. I may come down later. Silas, for one, yep. Royston. Shireen is not here, but today I want to pray for everybody. You come either as a couple or whatever, you come. If you're baptized already, come and take the bread, and then whatever the Lord leads, Silas, Royston, or Nyap, they will pray together with you. But as you come, can you remember what they came? What did the people come in Mark 10? Lord, have mercy on me. And today the Lord says to you, Lord, have mercy on me. What do you want me to do for you? God is in the business of helping us. Will you come before the Lord? I want you to prepare. We'll sing this song, Once Come to People of Mercy, and Silas will be here, Nyam will be here, and then Royston. I want you to come forward, but today, I want to pray even for the kids' ministry people. I want to pray, especially, I ask Karen to come. Karen, can you just come? Pray for my family, Silas. Pray for the two of us as we take a Lord's Communion, and then we come. Shireen, just come together, Royston. I'll pray for the two of you, and then after that, we take it from there. I want to pray for Phyllis and Tawei first, and then also Angela, so that once you're done, you all can go, and then the kids' ministry people can come. Will we do that? Yeah. The thing came out. Yeah. Never mind. We can sing without the thing. Malcolm, you're from Liverpool, right? Take care of it. Liverpool will take care of everything. Karen, come. Can you all prepare our hearts? And later you come. I don't expect you to kneel here, but as you come, yup. I saw that once in London. I thought it was interesting. For health reasons, the last time I saw, they take the cup and tell you to drink. Drink it after that. If Adriel drink it, I'm not sure why Kyung will drink the same cup. Example. So today we take this one. Everybody comes. I want yup, Silas, and Royston just come. But Karen, it's okay. Leave Malcolm. He's from Liverpool. They will win the league this year. Let's pray. Silas. Shireen. Just pray for us. Right. You can do later.
Father Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for the anointing you have given to this church, even for this family and for this couple as well. Lord, we see how they grow even as a family, even they go through trials, tribulations, even in victories or even in defeats. But in every step of the way, the words of the Lord is be with them. Lord, we see how what they annoy them. We pray for the children. Lord, we know that there will be a healing even in their body, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Amen. The Lord, we speak in faith and in truth. We know that the day you restore them completely. And Lord, we know that your healing is upon them. Lord, I bless this family. We pray for financial prudency. We pray for provision. We pray for faith to continue to believe in you. Lord, we pray for Daniel business that, Lord, even by faith, that works will come by. Words and good works and words that not only bring financial gain, but works also brings glory even unto your name. Lord, Amen. We pray for Karen, even know that there's a longing to return to the marketplace. Lord, I just pray for the right opening and the right opportunity.
Amen.
There will be a job that not only annoy her soul, there will be a job that will be able to bring glory even unto your name. So Lord, once again, we pray for both of them as we submit ourselves even to their leadership and know that the Lord, you will guide us to the place.
Amen.
Continue to bring glory and beautiful things even will come to fruition. Lord, we just want to thank you.
Amen. We take down. Yeah. Working? See? See you. Liverpool 6, Menu 0. Come. Can you all worship the Lord? Can we just all stand? And later, there'll be three lines. Just where the Lord leads. If you're a couple, can I ask you to come forward? If you have a daughter, bring the daughter.
If you're not baptized, it's okay, we can still pray for you. All right? Adriel, if you're baptized, tell us so that we can really pray for you. Do something, because the Word of God says, come to table mercy, not God come to you. I tell you, my concern for us is we have Jesus and God in our pocket. We're not following Him, no. We want Him to follow us. But can we come before Him? Come to the table of mercy. Can we sing before the Lord?
Come to the table of mercy.
Prepare.
Prepare the wine and the bread.
All who are hungry and thirsty.
All who are hungry and thirsty.
Come and soul.
Come and your souls will be fed.
Come at His invitation.
Come at the Lord's invitation. Receive from His nail-scarred hand.
Eat of the bread.
Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb.
Father, we thank You as we come before You. I prepare my brother and sister. Lord, bless them as they come, as the elders and leaders pray for them. Lord, I pray that, Lord, there will be a cleansing. I pray, Lord, not for judgment, but let them judge themselves now so that when they come before You, You are going to purify and cleanse them. So, Lord, give a word of season for everyone that comes forward. Bless them as they take a step towards the table of mercy. Father, we thank You, we bless You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. So, Nyap and Silas and Royston, can you come forward? I ask you to just come. There are three of them. Go to whichever one. Take your communion. If you're not baptized, doesn't matter, come and they will pray for you anyway. Will you do that? Come. Come to the table of mercy.
Come to the table of mercy. Prepare with the wine and the bread. Who are hungry and thirsty, come and your soul will be fed.
Thank you.
Come and the Lord's invitation, receive from His nails God's hand. Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb. Come to the table of mercy.
Drink of the blood of the Lamb. So the Lord bless you. The Lord give you all you need.
Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb. Table of mercy.
Prepare
with the wine and the
bread.
All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your soul will be fed.
So I pray all this
to come at the Lord's invitation. Receive from His nails God's
hand.
Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb. Come to the table of mercy.
Amen.
Receive from His nails God's hand. Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood.
Father, thank You
of
the for Angela. The Lord bless you. Angela, the Lord says to you, you are to continue to pray for your husband so that this family
can
pray for you, that you will come to God and bring the children beyond
all who are
grades,
hungry
beyond
and thirsty,
what program, beyond exams, but you will.
Come bless you, Angela.
Drink of the blood of the Lamb.
The Father,
the Son, and the Lord's invitation.
Thank you, as my sister takes of the bread.
Receive from His nails scarred
hands. We pray all this to come to pass.
Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb.
Baptize it, yeah? Baptize it, huh? I will say this to you. You believe in God.
You bore so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. The praise, worthy is your name, worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise, worthy is your name, worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise, worthy is your name, worthy your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. worthy is your name.
The word of God says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who has sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. The Lord bless you. I pray for you that the Lord will raise you up at the last day. I pray for you that you will eat of the bread of salvation, you will eat of the bread of life, and you will know that as you come to God, you will, my brother and sister, never go hungry, and as you believe in him, you will never be thirsty. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. I pray for you in 2024 that you'll be a powerful presence in the marketplace. You will be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but you will be that powerful yeast that taps upon the power of God, so that as you go out there, that small ingredient, you, the yeast, will bring flavor, will bring volume to the marketplace. You will bring tremendous blessing to your bank, to the army, to that branch, to that school as a student, to that lectureship, to that startup, to the clients that need you in the marketplace, that your private wealth clients that come to you will receive the touch of God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Holy Spirit be with you until you see Jesus again face to face up in the heavens above. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We pray all this through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.